then we get on to when you go off on your Trans-Siberian adventure. So we've got David in front of the train. What is that freight expression on his face, do you think?
I think it's... Okay, so that would be the first pitch I took in daylight with the camera. We'd just come from Japan. David wouldn't fly, so in order to come back from Japan and the Japanese tour, which was after the American, we got a boat from Yokohama to a port called Nohodka in Siberia. And that is, in fact, the Trans-Siberian Express.
Right.
And I think the expression is, come on, take the picture.
It does look a bit like that.
It does.
He's kind of indulging.
But bless him, he's bearing with it.
Yeah.
And it's a great shot. I love that shot. And I staged it. Look, I staged it right. So, but this is a camera that the Japanese photographer Sukita had got for me trade, and it was the basic Nikon camera for beginners. It was called a Nikomat.
Okay.
But it still had knobs and dials in it, and I didn't know what the knobs and dials really did. So the fact that I got this picture, I'm really, really pleased. It must have been an idiot-proof camera, that's all I can say.
Right, because it was the first, you kind of upgraded, that was your first upgrade of camera, wasn't it?
It was.
Because
before this, the picture of David on the Trans-Siberian, or outside the Trans-Siberian carriage, there is a picture of him in Chinese type lounging, smoking, pajama type suit, and that was taken in Chicago, and that was taken on a Kodak Instamatic.
Right.
So yeah, this is
so
the first decent camera.
Yeah, you can tell.
You can.
Yeah, you really can.
But
yeah.
There is a quality to cheap cameras, which is quite endearing, really.
Yes. It's the intimacy again, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So you're about to go off on this big... Why wouldn't he fly, by the way?
Why wouldn't he fly?
Yeah.
I think it had a bumpy ride on a flight in Europe. I think maybe he had some kind of premonition or whatever it was. Whatever it was, I wasn't about to argue with him.
So the thought of doing all this overland travel appealed to you more than flying, also?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in many ways, it's food for thought, and it's the stuff of writing. Also, it's a reprieve from the constant planes, cars, sound checks, performing, another hotel, another night. Don't forget he was writing. He was very prolific at this point in history. So all these influences, and going through Russia, going through East to West Berlin, all those things came up in songs after that.
So it just gave him a minute. It gave you all a minute, basically, just to kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, just be yourselves, relax in between the big, huge gigs.
Well, it's odd because when you're young or you're in your 20s, whatever, sometimes you go and do something or see something and you don't really take it in because you think, well, I'll check this out another time, and then the other time doesn't turn up and you never get back there. So this forced time of contemplation and taking new stuff in many ways, for guys in their mid-20s, was really good. It made you take on board stuff instead of flying around as 25, 26, 7-year-olds would have done then.
Mm.
So, yeah, time for contemplation.
Yeah. This picture.
This is the reciprocal picture
David
took
of
me. And if you think that He looks like, come on, get this picture done, will you? I really look like, I give up if you're not going to take it. But I think the thing was, he wasn't taking a picture of me. He was taking a picture of me with a man picking his nose in the corner.
I love that man in the corner.
And
it makes it, doesn't it?
And so thanks for that one. I appreciate that.
He knew that, didn't he? He saw that.
He did. Yeah. He said, actually... Move over, Jeff. I want to take a picture of this guy picking his nose. It's much more interesting.